Galatians, the third chapter. We're going to start a new series this morning called Redeemed. Amen. Father, we thank you today that we are redeemed, and we say so. And today we thank you, Lord, for revelation. I pray for revelation in this area, that which you've planted in my heart, that which you showed me, Lord, help me to communicate this today, Lord. Give us today, Lord, a seeing eye and a hearing ear. Help us to focus on what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us today in this place, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. I remember when I was, used to get on my nerves, but when I was going to grade school, one of my teachers used to say this, "All right, class, you got your thinking cap on today?" Never heard that before. Okay. I say this today. Do you have your spiritual antenna up today? Amen. To hear. Praise the Lord. See, we can be. Here's how the Holy Spirit works. A lot of times I'll be ministering or somebody will be ministering, and the same time I'm ministering, the Holy Ghost is talking to you right there in your seat, right there in your chair, and he's revealing things to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm expecting that to happen today. But I want you to notice that this scripture in Galatians, the third chapter, 13th verse, we'll start there. The scripture tells us here, Paul writing by the inspiration of God said, Christ hath redeemed us. Say, Christ has redeemed us.
Christ has redeemed us.
Now, it's the King James says, hath. Hath. Well, we would say, has. That is past tense. Past means it has been accomplished. It has been done, right? Christ didn't say will redeem us from the curse, or someday he will redeem us from the curse. It says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, I want you to underline that in your Bibles there. Write it down here. Being made a curse for us. Pastor Lynn just shared that over. She was praying for the offering. She just quoted that very thing right there. Jesus was a curse for us. It says that Christ redeemed us in 13 from the curse of breaking the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Well, a piece of wood, a cross. That's Jesus hung on that cross, right? When we see these scriptures today, I believe that the veils, the curtain's going to be lifted off to see, oh my goodness, the price that Jesus Christ paid for you and for me and for all those areas in our lives. It's an amazing thing. But notice it says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. I've talked to people through the years, and I remember one in particular, and I was talking, it was a believer actually I was talking to. And they just said, you know, I just feel like I live under this big cloud all the time, this dark cloud all the time. I feel like I'm living under a curse. And I said, well, you're not. But if you think you are, then you will. Okay? Because Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you know your thinking is so important, folks? How you think determines. Joyce Meyer says it like this, that how your mind goes, the man will follow. I think that's how she says it. How the mind goes, the man will follow. That's the body, right? The outward man. So how you think will govern how you act. It'll govern everything that you do in life. And I want you to see this from God's perspective in verse 13 as we take this apart here. Christ Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ, it's a fact. It will not happen. It has already happened. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, when I grew up You know, I got saved when I was 16, and I got involved in a Pentecostal church. It was a great church. Make no mistake about it. And I got filled with the Spirit in there and so forth. I got born again, actually, in a Methodist church and a youth camp, okay, of all places. And but they kept, I remember back in those days, back in the late 70s, early 80s, they kept singing songs about when we all get to heaven. I remember that song in particular, when we all get to heaven. You remember that song? Okay, and it's putting off all the blessings to the future. And it gave the idea, gave the impression that we have no victory while we're on this earth. That you know, we just have to kind of drudge through this life like we're walking through mud down here on this earth. You know, and just kind of doing our best, you know. As if everything is for heaven. You know, you'll get healed when you get to heaven. You'll get your blessing when you get to heaven. That's not true. Amen? I mean, Psalm 23 gives us enough light on that. You know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen? He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Now, they couldn't be talking about heaven. There's no enemies in heaven. Amen? There's no Al-Qaeda in heaven. Amen? There's no Hamas in heaven, unless they get born again on the earth. You know what I'm talking about. There's no enemies in heaven. So he says, I will prepare you a table before your presence, in the presence of your enemies. In other words, that's on the earth. God will provide for you. God will give to you while you're on this earth right now. So many times people religiousize things, if that's a word, and they put it off to the future, off to heaven, when God wants us to realize right now, healing belongs to us now. Now, Scripture says right here that Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, I'm just going to, you can write this down, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's a long chapter. And I'll sum it up by saying this. The curse of the law is threefold: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. That is the curse of the law. Okay? Jesus redeemed us from the curse. Now, what's the word redeem mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. I looked it up. Okay? And it says, it means this: ransomed, delivered from bondage, distress, the penalty, liability, or from the possession of another by paying an equivalent. So Jesus delivered us from bondage, distress, and the penalty of sin. Because he was made a curse for us. Matter of fact, we'll see this today, and that, you know, in Isaiah, you know, they looked upon Jesus and they considered him smitten of God and afflicted from God. Well, Jesus did become the curse. Now, he didn't sin. Jesus didn't commit sin, but he became sin. He became the substitute. And I just, it makes me fall more and more in love with Jesus when I realize the wonderful price that he paid for me. I will never, ever, ever have another boring day in my life. I will never, ever have another mundane day in my life. Why? Because of the price that Jesus Christ paid for me. I can't help but give him thanks and praise when I realize the price that he paid for me. See, it's when I don't realize that that I can get depressed. When we get our focus off of what Jesus did for us, it's so easy to get our eyes on the bills, get our eyes on this thing and your son, your daughter, this thing or that thing. You know what I'm trying to say? It's so easy to get your eyes on the natural, but if you keep your eyes on Jesus, like Moses lifted up the pole in the wilderness and the Lord instructed the Israelites when they were bitten by those snakes in Numbers, whoever looketh and intently looketh upon this pole shall be made whole of whatever disease that they have. Yes. And that brazen serpent, was it John chapter 3? Yeah. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that serpent on a pole was a symbol of the curse. It was a snake. That's where the pharmaceutical industry has that snake with around that pole, you know, I mean, that's where they got that from the book of Numbers. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus was a type and a shadow of that. He became the curse. Mm-hmm. And when the Israelites looked upon that brazen serpent, when they were bitten by poisonous snakes and vipers, they were made whole of whatever disease that they had. Think about that. And that serpent is a type of Jesus. And so when you lift up Jesus and you look unto him, then healing can come to you. Health can come to you. Provision can come to you when you look unto him. Amen? Praise God. I'm telling you, this, our perspective needs to be come up higher in this area. And I believe it is today. Thank you, Jesus. When we come to church, it's time that we come up higher. The only way that you and I will not come up higher in church is if we have a wrong mindset. That's the only way. We could be sitting in church, hearing the scripture, but we're thinking about that problem that we have to deal with this week. Okay? So your attention goes to that. Okay? You can only think about one thing at once anyway, right? So let's just focus on the answer. Jesus was made a curse for us. The curse is poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 28, you don't have to turn there. We will get into this in the weeks to come. But he talks about all forms of sickness and disease. You know, he talks about consumption and liver problems and blood problems and all kind of things that's under the curse. And then it says in verse 63 of that chapter of 28, and it says, and also every sickness and every plague that's not written in here is under the curse. So if you didn't find your condition in Deuteronomy 28, he says every sickness and every disease that's not found in this book is supposed to be under the curse. It's under the curse. Blood problems, tuberculosis, cancer, amen, emphysema, lung problems, heart problems, brain problems are all under the curse. Jesus took the curse for you and for me that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. It says, let's look at that scripture again. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. Make it personal. Being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Notice this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Now, who's the Gentiles? Us. Now, go down to verse 29, Galatians 3 and verse 29. My goodness, there's so much power in this. When we begin to say this, okay, people say, well, I'm not Jewish. Well, it's covered right here. If you be Christ, how many of you belong to Christ? Okay, now this is the qualification right here. If you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, if you look in Deuteronomy 28 and see what God promised Abraham, whoa, you won't be able to sleep at night for joy. God says to Abraham, I'm going to make you wealthy. I'm going to make you healthy. He says, I'm going to make your name great. Okay? And so often people just say, well, that's Abraham. No, if we belong to Christ, we identify with that. It's so important who we identify with. Yes. When I was going to high school growing up, you know, people identify with this group or that group. You know, where do I fit in here? I got to identify with this person or that person. Mm-hmm. And we are called to identify with Christ. Okay? And if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you be Christ, I belong to Christ. Say, I belong to Christ. I'm telling you, when you begin to acknowledge this and you say this out loud. See, God gave us a mouth more than just for eating food. It's a heavy revelation, isn't it? And God didn't just give us a mouth to communicate with one another. That's part of it. But he gave us a mouth to speak words of life that will produce fruit on our behalf. Words, the whole universe, folks, was created by words. God said, let there be, and there was. Okay? Now, we're made in God's likeness, and we're made in God's image. And we have the ability to choose words, and we think, and we create, because we're made in God's likeness, in God's image. Every single invention that's ever been made on the earth didn't come through a cow, didn't come through a dog, didn't come through a cat, didn't come through a horse, didn't come through a fish. It came through a human being, which is made in the likeness and in the image of God. In fact, you know, a lot of the, in the last 100 years, a lot of the major, and I did some research on this, a lot of the major, major inventions that are affecting us to this day, like Henry Ford and Thomas Edison and these guys, these were believers, okay, that had the light of God on the inside of them. And that light that was on the inside of them illuminated their thinking to create. So everything that's ever been created, everything that's ever been invented in this earth came through a human being that's made in the likeness and the image of God. Didn't come through one animal ever, not once. Why did God put the animals here? For our pleasure. You know, some people like dogs. Amen. Some people like cats. Some people like fish, you know, some people like horses, whatever, you know. I picked that up from my brother Walt, whatever. Is that the key word?
Yeah.
Was that it? Was that it? Okay. That's the buzzword. That's the new buzzword right there. You know, when the anointing's working, he's excited. He says, whatever.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm just playing with you, brother. I love it. I love getting around Brother Walt. He's an exciting brother. He loves God. Hallelujah. And where was I?
Whatever.
Christ. Yeah, whatever. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Amen.
Say, that's me.
That's me.
Okay. Oh, my. I can't even move beyond this one right here. So he ransomed us from bondage and from distress. So what is the curse of the law? It's poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. It's wrapped up in those three things right there. And Jesus Christ redeemed us. And so if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. And I'm an heir according to the promise. I want to say the last 3 weeks in particular, man, I've been praying and taking walks and meditating on this and just pouring this over in my spirit. And it's just like, this is where this whole thing came from here, that I belong to Jesus. You know, meditation, we talked about this yesterday with the guys in the breakfast, you know, yesterday, and I talked about meditation on the Word of God, how important that is. Not medication, meditation. Meditate on the Word means to think, to ponder, to speak, to imagine. And the Bible says that if you'll be like a tree, if you meditate on the Word of God, that bringeth forth fruit in his season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. And God told, you know, I'll just get you all in on this from yesterday, amen. But God told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 8, he said, this book of the law, this Word of God, shall not depart from thy mouth. But he said, you shall meditate in that Word day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written. And then he says this, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. You will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. How? By meditating on the Word of God. Now you stop and think about it. Joshua was taking over Moses' position. That will be very interesting. Can you imagine filling his shoes? The greatest prophet that ever existed, Moses, leading millions, not thousands, millions, millions into the promised land. Well, God told to transfer that anointing. Joshua was to be the man that was going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Moses got them up to it, but he said, now, lay hands on Joshua, transfer the anointing on him. Actually, Joshua's root name is Yeshua, okay? That's Jesus' root name, Joshua, Oshua, okay? The son of Nun, as the Bible says. Now, his mother wasn't a nun, but, you know. But we see that God told him a secret that was of no private interpretation. He didn't say, Joshua, come here, I want to tell you something. I'm not going to tell the Israelites, but just come here. And he whispers in his ear, he says, here's what I want you to do. He said it right out in front of it. In fact, he put it in the scripture. He said, here's the key to your success. And whatever you do in life, meditate on the word of God. Okay? He says, don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. He says, meditate on the word of the living God. What has God said to you? What has God said to you through his word? What has God said to you by his spirit? That's what we are to meditate upon. Amen? Amen? Not what some goofball told you that didn't amount to anything. You know, words are powerful, right? Sometimes people can say things, well-meaning people, and they can say things that are hurtful, that pull away from you, that make you feel like a worm in the dust. You know what I'm saying? But God never does that. He says this, meditate on the word of God day and night. You'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. So in other words, talk to yourself. It's okay to do that. Now, don't ever say things, oh, stupid me. I'm having a senior moment. People say things like that, trying to be cute. You ought not say that. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. I will never have a senior moment. I will never have a senior moment. I have the mind of Christ. Okay? And sometimes we just need to jerk or slack the jerk out of you, whichever way. You know what I'm saying? You need to straighten it up and say, no, 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 I'm not gonna say words that will pull me down to that level, because you and I will always rise up to the level of our confession. What we're saying about us, there's the lid right there. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never get out of this problem. Then that's the lid that we put on our lives. But Jesus took the lid off. I'm telling you, he took the lid off. Can I share something with you here? Did you ever hear of a flea circus before? Some of you know where I'm going with this. But several years ago, there was a guy that had one of these little tiny, not Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey circus. You know, we're talking about a small country circus type thing. You know what I'm saying? And there's a guy there that had a bunch of fleas in a jar. And fleas jump. And so he brought these jars of fleas, you know, and people were standing around. He says, and they're like, what's he doing with this? You know, so he unscrews the lid on the jar, takes the jar off, and everybody backs up. No one wants to get fleas, right? And to people's utter amazement, those fleas, not one of them left the jar. Now you'll see where I'm going with this. And they're like scratching their heads. How does he do that? How do you do that? And so what happens is he initially got those fleas, put them in a jar, fed them and all that kind of stuff they grew in there. And those fleas, they can jump pretty far. I think they can jump about 6 foot, you know, put the basketball players to shame. You know what I'm saying? And those little fleas would jump up and they would hit the lid on that jar, okay, and smash the little brains out. Boom! Oh! You know, and finally they began to curtail back their ability to jump that far. And they would only jump as far without hitting their heads on the top of that lid. You see what I'm saying? They didn't like that pain anymore. So they got acclimated. They renewed their mind to think, don't jump this far anymore. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
And so when he took the lid off, they had that programmed into their little flea brain that I'm not going to jump any further than this. And so they jump up just a little bit, you know. And then we take the lid off. They would stay in the jar. Okay? So my point being is this. They got so acclimated to limiting their self that it was no longer the lid that was limiting them. It was their own thinking. You see what I'm saying? The lid was taken off. The lid was removed. They could jump out. They could go, free at last, thank God I'm free at last. You know, they could have sang that song. But they're thinking, and this is exactly what happens to you and I, is we limit our thinking and we only think we can go so far. But when Jesus came down, he took the lid off. And we can go as far as we want to go. But if the devil would make us think the lid is still on, don't try to do this, it won't work for you, it only works for the Jews, it might work for a pastor, but it won't work for you. Listen, if you belong to Christ, This has nothing to do with being a pastor or a rabbi or anything else. If you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed, you're an heir according to the promise. You can go as high and as far as you want to go.
Amen.
How do I do that? I'm glad you asked. We say what the Bible says about us. The scripture tells us, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that's okay. Let the redeemed of the Lord what?
Say so.
That the Lord has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. When I say I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy, I'm delivered from the power of darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom I have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. My goodness. There's something about decreeing and declaring with the words of your mouth. The Bible says the curse causeless shall not come. The curse causeless shall not come. The way that you... Let me back up here. The way that we enforce our redemption, we're talking about being redeemed, is by what we're constantly saying with our mouth. Okay? When you have that stack of bills and you say, I'm redeemed from the curse of poverty in the name of Jesus. Well, you know, 5 minutes later, you're looking at the bills again. You know, nothing naturally, seemingly has changed. Okay? Or your body. I'm redeemed from this pain in Jesus' name. And you check your body and it still hurts. Right? You keep saying what the Word of God says. You keep saying what the covenant says. You keep saying, I'm redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease, or you can name that sickness or that disease. I'm redeemed from this. I said, I'm redeemed from brain problems. Amen?
Amen.
And by you saying that and you decreeing that and you declaring that, then the angels start to work on your behalf.
Amen.
See, a lot of people's angels, they're on the unemployment line. And they got their hands folded, you know, and they look sorry because they've been sent to work for us. But a lot of times those angels have been put on the unemployment line. I mean, yeah, and they can't do anything because we're not giving them anything to work with. You see, the scripture says that the angels hearken unto the Word of God. They hearken to the voice of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And when we give voice to what the Word of God has to say, I pray that you have ears to hear this today, okay? This is not Pastor Keith here. This is the Word of God, amen? That when we speak God's Word, it gives God a legal ability to say, angels, go and work on their behalf. And so that's why when you speak the Word of God, wow, those angels will go to work on your behalf. When you get your prayers answered, guess how God did that? Through angels. When you prayed and you had a need met in your life, guess how that happened? Now, you might have saw the person that God used, but God used angels to arrange and rearrange. Praise God. Are you with me? So, Jesus became our great substitute. Okay? When I was going to school growing up, we used to love when you had substitute teachers. That meant we could abuse them a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That's before I was redeemed. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus became our substitute. Say that with me. Jesus became my substitute. Praise God. Go over to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter here. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Well, and I was mentioning what I was saying there, that when you put a scripture in your mouth, and one of the words for also for meditation is to digest. To digest. It's not what you eat that sustains you, it's what you digest. Okay? You can put a guy that's in the final stages of starvation in a grocery store, but if he doesn't eat, he could pass out on the floor and check out right there in the grocery store, and he's surrounded by groceries. So it's not what you eat, it's what you digest. And digestion begins with the mouth. Okay? Jeremiah said it like this: your words were found and I did eat them. Now, does that mean he took a scroll or a Bible and just started chewing on it? No. The way that you eat the Word of God is by taking a scripture, speaking it, digesting it. Taking it, speaking it, thinking about it, and digesting it, and then it becomes a part of you. Whether you realize it or not, last night's meal or last week's meal, you can't find it because it's now a part of you. Okay? Depending on how many calories are in that, you know, that will show up too, right? But what I'm saying is this, is what you ate now becomes a part of you. And what you spiritually eat, that becomes a part of you. And that's why the scripture says in the last days that there's going to come a time where people will not want sound doctrine anymore. They're going to want to heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they're only going to want to hear people that are going to tickle their ears. Amen? I'm glad we're not like that. Okay? That doesn't mean we don't enjoy and the word's not entertaining, because it is. But this is serious business, because when we're coming to church like this, I take this extremely serious, because this is eternal stuff that we're dealing with right here. Amen. You're an eternal being, and this word that you're hearing will affect you 10 years down the road from now. Amen? And throughout eternity. So, when you digest the word and you start to say, Christ, redeem me from the... I've said that probably hundreds and hundreds of times. I don't even keep track at all. I don't have to. But I know this, that when I say, I belong to Christ, I'm Abraham's seed, I'm an heir according to the promise, I'm blessed, I'm an heir, praise the Lord. I call my body blessed. Amen. Pull your wallet and say, I call my bank account blessed. Amen. I call my relationships blessed. I call my family relationships blessed. And the more you say that, the richer it will become. I'll tell you a little secret. The enemy has tried, and I believe that we're exposing that more and more through the Word of God, but he tries to get us so busy talking about problems in our lives. Family problems, talking about this person, that person, just talking. And we just talk the problem. And we try to be Holy Ghost Junior. We're trying to do the Holy Spirit's job. You know what I mean? Well, we make a poor Holy Spirit. It's better to pray for people and let God deal with them. Amen. Now, if God wants you to talk to someone, He'll have you talk to them. Amen. But more often than not, we try to take the place of the Holy Spirit when... if we're just speaking the Word of God, let me give you an example of this in the New Testament. The Scripture says that, talking about husbands and wives, that wives can be washed by the water of the Word. Did you know that? Husbands, you can wash your wives, how? With the water of the Word. What does that mean? You're speaking the word over them. You can speak the word over your wife. You can speak the word of God over your husband. You can speak the word of God over your children. And what are you doing? You're washing them. Are you with me? Is everybody here this morning? Okay. I trust you're getting this morning. But 2 Corinthians, let's go over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've got to wrap this up here. In verse 16, now we know that Jesus became our substitute, right? And I want to show you scripture that will verify that, our Jesus being our substitute. There's no way I'm going to finish this today, but we got next week. Amen. But verse 16 says, wherefore, Paul the apostle says here, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Okay, therefore, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? It says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Say, I'm a new creature.
I'm a new creature.
Now that actually, the literal Greek there means a new species of being that never existed before. Now if you're in Christ Jesus, which you are and I am, I'm in Christ. Amen. Just like a baby that's on the inside of that mother. That baby has no choice. Wherever that mother goes, that baby goes. Whatever that mother eats the night before, that's exactly what that baby's going to eat, because that baby is in the mother. Now, you and I are in Christ. And whatever Christ has, we get. Amen. Are you with me now? There we go here. Come on, straighten up here. All right. Change the way it was. From landscape to whatever. It says, therefore, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And verse 18, now this is in connection with what he just said. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. That means to make right to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation means this: hey, God's not mad at you anymore. He's not mad at you. Because all of the judgment of God came on Jesus. All the wrath of God, all the judgment of God came on Jesus Christ so that it wouldn't come on you.
Thank you, Father.
A great substitute. My, my, my. Wow. Now, if you go down to 21, verse 20, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay, we're talking about the great substitute. Jesus took, the curse of the law was poverty, sickness, spiritual death. Now, in the next week, the next 2 weeks actually in particular, you're going to see from the Scriptures specifically how Jesus took and became our substitute in these particular areas. Now, see, this is how every breakthrough starts. It comes through knowledge. It comes through knowledge. The Emancipation Proclamation that took place under President Lincoln's administration freed people from slavery. Thank you, Jesus, for Abraham Lincoln. Amen. But did you know that there are people, because of fear, that didn't actually believe that? It actually happened? There are people that were still living under the mindset, I'm still a slave. Even though the Emancipation Proclamation came, said, you are now free. Hallelujah. Thank God for Abraham Lincoln. Amen. Man, there's something about these old-time presidents that had some conviction and some backbone about them that I just absolutely love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
You know what I like so much about President Benjamin Netanyahu? He has a backbone.
Yes.
It's good to see a leader with a backbone. That's all I'm going to say. That has a backbone, not a wishbone, a backbone. Amen? Jesus became sin in 21. Jesus was made sin. He didn't sin, but he became sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Great substitute. Now, Jesus didn't sin. He didn't commit sin any more than we committed righteousness. But he became sin. He became the curse. And he took, now you stop and think about this. Jesus took the penalty of sin for the entire human race, for people that weren't even born yet. You and I weren't born when that happened. And there's still people yet to be born. Jesus took the past, the present, and the future of the sins of the entire world on himself. God did that. Well, we don't have time today, but you'll see that it pleased Jehovah to bruise Jesus. It says that. It pleased him to do that to Jesus. Why? Because he had you and me on his mind. Okay? Wow. So Jesus took my sin. So that means this: I'm not a sinner anymore. Amen? Now there's such a thing, and I'll wrap this up today with this. There's a thing called false humility. And it sounds spiritual, and it sounds biblical, and it sounds like humility, but it ain't. I know that's bad English, but for example, I heard a radio show a few years back, and there was they were interviewing a particular Christian artist, musician, singer. If I named his name, you'd know who he is. But that's not what I'm called to do. And he kept saying over and over, he goes, "Look, guys, I'm just a sinner like everybody else. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner." And something just didn't set right with my spirit. He was trying to be humble. He goes, "I'm a sinner. I sin every day. I'm a sinner. I sin every day." Now listen. When you got born again, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, He took the sinner out of you. Amen. And you are no longer a sinner.
Amen.
Okay? But it sounds like humility because they're saying, I'm just a sinner, I sin every day. Well, see, if you see yourself as a sinner, then you will walk that out. There'll be opportunities. I guarantee the devil will see there'll be plenty of opportunities every day to walk in sin. Okay? If you see yourself, if you identify with yourself as a sinner. Now, I used to be a sinner. I was saved by grace. And now, the Bible says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, my. A great substitute. See, I was a sinner. I'm not anymore. Does that mean that believers don't miss it? No, we miss it from time to time. But we're still righteous. You and I are righteous. Say, I'm righteous. Through the blood. See, we're not bragging on ourselves. We're not saying, look at what I've done. Look at old me. You know, no. We're looking, here's what Jesus did for you and for me. And our part, Jesus identified with us. We are to identify with Him. And He took my sin that I might become the righteousness. Now, why is that so important? Because the enemy is going to make you feel like a dirty dog. And when it comes time to pray, the first thought that's going to hit your mind is, I don't feel too worthy today to pray about this. I don't feel very spiritual today. I don't feel like I have spiritual goosebumps today. I don't know if I want to take on this task. And so a sense of unworthiness, a sense of guilt, a sense of condemnation will always endeavor to come to your mind when it comes time to pray. But that's when you and me, we have to remind ourselves, wait a minute. I am the righteousness of God. I have right standing with God. I can come before God as if sin never existed. And that's literally what righteousness is, means rightness or right standing with God. I'm about to preach these walls off here, I'm telling you. Praise God. Righteous, right standing with God. See, James even said that, you know, Elijah, you know, we see him calling down fire from heaven, outrunning the king's chariot. We read seriously things. And people say, this is a Superman in the Bible. But the Bible says Elijah was a man of like subject to like passions, like you and like me. In other words, he was just like you and I. Because we have this hero mentality, like these guys are, we'll never touch where they're at. Listen, you have a better covenant than they had. You're under a New Testament. The Bible says we have a better covenant, Hebrews 8:6, established upon better promises. Hear me, church! Hallelujah! Wake up! I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And when I pray, things change. Because it's not based on what I've done. Little goody two-shoes Keith. No. It's based on what Jesus did for me. He made me righteous, so therefore I take my place and I stand in that righteousness. Even if my mind says, you feel like a worm today. You know what I'm saying? You remind yourself, no, I'm not standing in my own blood. I'm not standing in my own righteousness. Jesus made me righteous. Listen, I believe some of you, not some, all of you here.
Amen.
I correct that. Give myself a spiritual slap here. I do that often. I correct myself a lot because the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't say that.
Right.
I said, all of us are getting this here today. All of us.
Amen.
None left out.
Amen.
This will change your prayer life because you'll now pray with such a boldness and a confidence See, Satan is a condemner. Always remember that. And if he's making you feel condemned and unworthy and reminding you of your past and the mistakes that you made, you will never rise above a certain level. You'll be hitting like those fleas hitting that jar, smack up and down again, you know. But Jesus removed that lid, and you can go as far as you want to go now. Amen?
Amen.
Folks, even if you screwed up yesterday as a believer, if you messed up yesterday and you got it under the blood, it's as if it never happened. It's as if it never happened. You might have lost your cool yesterday. And I was laughing at Jesse Duplantis. He said, "Lord, I lost my temper." He said, "No, it looks to me like you found it." He said that down in Texas when we were down there, you know. He said, "I'd rather you lose your temper." And sometimes, you know, as believers, we can get upset. We can get angry. We can get in the flesh. But, you know, just get it under the blood. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I made a mistake here. Forgive me. Forgive me." And God says, "All right." He removes it. And if you start to bring it up to him again, he's going to say, "Excuse me, what are you talking about? There's what do you mean you did what? There's no remembrance of this." Okay? Okay, here's the last scripture. Isaiah 43 in verse 25. So I wanted to look at this first because Jesus took our sin nature. He took our sin, our substitute. We took his righteousness, rightness. That means I can pray, you can pray with confidence and with boldness. God hears you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord, and Peter says, are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. That means you. That means me.
Amen.
His eyes are upon me. His ears are open to my prayers upon the righteous. Thank you, Lord. He didn't say, "If you feel righteous," he said, "if the righteous." Praise the Lord. Now look at this here. Here's what God says in verse 23 or 25 of Isaiah 43. Here we are. God says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions." Notice this, "for mine own sake. And I will not remember thy sins." Verse 26. "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." In other words, you put God in remembrance. Now, he doesn't forget. But he tells us, that's right, he likes us to remind him and remind ourselves. "Father, I put you in remembrance. You said, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions." Notice, for his own sake. Not for our sake, for his sake. So that we could have right standing with Almighty God. Folks, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, part of that curse that we mentioned there was spiritual death, separation from God. And that's what we had before we were children of God. We were spiritually separated from God. But the Bible says God broke down that middle wall. And the handwriting of ordinances that were contrary took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. All those sins and everything that we ever did, he took it out. He nailed it to the cross. And it says, "Paid in full."
Amen.
It's paid in full. This is the good news. We talked about the gospel for 3 weeks, right? Gospel means good news. And this is the good news. God's not mad at people. He's already canceled their sins and their transgressions. And their only job now is to receive what he already did.
Hallelujah.
That makes sharing the gospel so much easier. Amen. When we share with Jesus, you know, he's not mad at you. He loves you. He cares for you. Instead of an angry God, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Someone said many years ago. One of the old timers had a sermon called "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." Well, I don't know about you, it makes me want to run. Well, if he's angry, if God's ticked off, I don't want to be around. If my earthly father was mad at me, I didn't want to be around. If I sassed my mama and my dad was close by, I didn't want to be around. I'm not talking about child abuse here. I'm talking about correction, you know. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just thank him right now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Father, we thank you for the reality of what we just saw in the Word of God today. May the constant revelation that you took our sin and we took your righteousness, amplify that to us, Lord. Make it more real to us, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding that we would begin to see how you actually do see us, Father. You see us as holy and pure and blameless and faultless as if we never sinned. You blotted out our transgressions for your sake, Father, so that we could come before you with confidence, with boldness, with assurance, and with faith in our hearts, Lord, that when we pray, it's the blood of Jesus that makes us worthy, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's not a sin, with every head bowed, every eye closed, there's not a sin that's so big that God doesn't have the power to redeem you from that. His blood is covered, not just you, but the nations of the world, past, present, and future. That's how big, that's how mighty and how big His grace is. Praise God. Now look up at me a second. I want to share this real quick. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For you are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Did you know you're saved by grace? What is grace? Grace is everything that Jesus did for you. Grace is Jesus. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, none other than Jesus Christ. Everything that you need in this life comes under the umbrella of grace, Jesus Christ. He is your forgiveness. He is your healer. He is your financier. He is your wisdom. He is everything that you will ever need. He is the grace of God. But the doorway to the grace of God is faith. For you are saved by grace through faith. When you came into this room here today, you had to come through that door. How many came through that door back there? The doorway to this sanctuary today was that one right back there. No one came through the roof. No one came through the wall. Well, Jesus can do that. He can walk through the wall. Amen. But you didn't. Until you get a brand new body, then you'll be able to walk through walls. We'll talk about that some other time. But it's faith in what Jesus did that opened the doorway to the grace of God.